Thanks for listening to The Exchange today. We used to call them mobile homes. Now the preferred term is manufactured housing. By any name, roughly 18 million Americans live in them, and the Oregon legislature will put some attention to manufactured housing in the session just started. Pam Marsh is a state representative representing District 5. She is from Ashland. John Van Landingham is an attorney for the Oregon Law Center and considered an expert on dealing with law as it relates to manufactured homes. Representative Pam Marsh, thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
And John Van Landingham joins us by phone. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
So, Pam Marsh, set it up for us. Your district apparently has a fair number of mobile home parks relative to the state of Oregon, so your attention's been on this for a while.
It turns out, just to provide some context, that within the state of Oregon, we have about 170,000 manufactured homes. About 45% of those are in one of the state's 1,100 manufactured home parks. And of that total of 1,100, about 10% of those parks are actually in Jackson County. So we have a heavy dependence on manufactured home industry for much of our naturally occurring affordable housing.
Did we lose some parks in the recession, not just in Jackson County, but across the state?
You know, that is always a risk because the parks are located on land that can often be developed in some other kind of housing or some other kind of industry. But we do have some protections in state law for the owners of homes in the event that that happens.
John,
let me add something?
So
actually, we lost parks before the recession.
Mm-hmm.
So in the boom years of the early 2000s, we had other people often from out of state with a lot of money looking to do a tax-deferred exchange of some sort and offering manufactured home park owners buckets of money to buy their land and close the park and redevelop as some higher-end residential use, especially in red-hot markets such as Southern Oregon. And so we lost a bunch of parks in those first years, but when the recession hit, that money dried up, and we actually had it gave us a little bit of a break there during the recession.
So while we're on the subject, give us the usual split of who owns what here, John. I mean, if you're a mobile, if you're a manufactured home owner, you own the shelter, but not the property it sits on?
That's correct. You own the manufactured home, and you rent the pad or the space that the home is located on. So you're both a homeowner and a tenant. And as a tenant, you can be evicted, which means you either have to move your home or lose your home. And it's very expensive to move a manufactured home. And we're talking about tens of thousands of dollars to move it. And often either the home is not strong enough to withstand a move. Most manufactured homes move once in their lives from the dealer to the park or the site. And also there are a lot of parks that won't take older manufactured homes in terms of a move. So having your park close is the end of the world.
We're talking again with Representative Pam Marsh and John Van Landingham, an attorney with the Oregon Law Center, about manufactured homes and manufactured home parks. Representative Marsh, you have a couple of pieces of legislation in mind for the upcoming legislative session. Tell us about that.
Well, we are aiming to basically stabilize the housing sector for those people who depend upon it. And we're taking a couple of different approaches. First, we are hoping to develop an acquisition fund for manufactured home parks. John just described the vulnerability, really, that park residents have on the ownership of the park. We have some wonderful, many wonderful park owners who really look after their tenants, take good care of them, try to support them in any way they can. But when a park goes on the market and some of the longtime owners go away, that's a moment of crisis potentially for the park residents. Because if someone who is less sympathetic to tenants comes in, again, the resident is in a very vulnerable spot. So when those parks go on the market, we want to provide an opportunity to transition as many of them as appropriate and as many of them as we can afford to an alternative form of ownership. So that can be a cooperative, that can be a nonprofit, it can be a housing authority. The acquisition fund would take a little bit of state funding and leverage that by raising private equity. It would be managed outside the state in a community development financial institution, which are basically nonprofits who are dedicated to a specific mission. And that money would be available in a flexible way so that a park comes on the market. We don't have to think about it. We don't have to work out all the logistics. We can use some of that money, stabilize it, and then after the transition and the sale, figure out what nonprofit is going to manage it, whether a cooperative is appropriate, what kind of alternative ownership we're going to put in place. But this would allow us to move very quickly. So That's the first effort.
All right, I'll get to the other ones in a moment. But John Van Landingham, I mean, it seems to me that land being land and building being building, if people are looking for a higher dollar value, that's a lot of pressure on a manufactured home park, isn't it?
It is, and it's enticing to owners. Owners can sometimes be, or possibly could be split into two camps, sort of more corporate owners and then mom and pop. So a number of parks, especially older parks, are owned by somebody, an individual or a family, and they actually lived in the park and got to know their residents. Increasingly, parks are owned by corporations, some of them out of state. Those are obviously profit-oriented, and that's the way our system works. So it's quite possible that a corporate owner or an individual, you know, so if it's an individual owner and they die or they age out and their kids don't want to be a mobile home park owner, they may want to sell as well. But as Pam has mentioned, Representative Marsh has mentioned, there are things that we've been doing and that she's proposing to do to help help other entities that will preserve the park for the long term, such as a resident cooperative, it's a nonprofit cooperative, a nonprofit corporation, such as in Lane County, St. Vincent de Paul has been buying up parks as it can, or a housing authority could buy a park, and then those would be that park would be preserved as affordable housing going forward. But yes, there is pressure to sell. On the other hand, parks aren't a huge financial investment for an owner, and they generate income because those residents are kind of a captive audience. They're not going to move. They die, but they're not going to move away. Those homes are going to stay there and continue to generate rent forever.
Manufactured homes, the topic here in the Jefferson Exchange with State Representative Pam Marsh of Ashland and John Van Landingham, an attorney with the Oregon Law Center. It is pre-recorded, so we can't take any phone calls or emails today. Representative Marsh, beyond acquisition, do you have some other items that you want to bring to the legislature?
We do. We want to upgrade the individual units that are out there. Of that 180,000 manufactured homes scattered across the state, both in parks and on individual parcels, about half of those are pre-1980. So that's a significant moment because that's when HUD actually started establishing some standards for manufactured homes. So these are very old units. Very often they are leaching energy. It doesn't make any sense. It's not cost effective to go in and do energy upgrades and weatherization, although we certainly have put some money into doing that. But the units are so old and so damaged that really what we need to do is trade them out. So we've got two pieces of legislation to help homeowners who are living in these very old units transition to new energy efficient units. The first would establish a fund that would be administered by the State Housing and Community Development Department that would issue grants to low-income individuals to help them simply dispose of the old units. That's harder than it might seem because very often there are asbestos and lead contamination that show up in those old units. And certainly I think we can all agree you're going to trade them out. You want that unit to be dismantled and properly disposed of. So these would simply be grants to help individuals get rid of the old. And so associated with that is the second bill, which would provide essentially secondary mortgage grants to individuals for the purchase of those new units. We know that we can't help them with the full purchase, but a little bit of support from the state in the form of a potentially forgivable loan that will help them put together a loan package that's sufficient enough to purchase a new unit. It could be a great benefit. So two bills, one, get rid of the old, and second, help those owners purchase new units that can take the place of the old.
Is this just about making sure that we take care of people who live in manufactured housing, or do you see this also as a potential element in trying to get more housing total for Oregon?
Well, I think when you look at the housing crisis, and certainly we do have a high housing crisis across the state, data shows us that we're missing about 150,000 housing units that we need. Part of that is developing new housing, and part of it is investing in the housing that's out there on the ground now to make sure that we're maintaining, we're upgrading when appropriate, the current housing stock so that we don't exacerbate the deficit by letting current units fall into disrepair. And we want people to be able to live in homes that are energy efficient, that are safe, that are healthy for them on the long term. So that's really the motivation behind helping to get rid of these old, very old manufactured units and move forward. I think manufactured housing units are also a great potential for actually addressing that deficit in housing. You know, the units that are out there on the market now are energy efficient. They're made of the same materials that your brick and mortar home is made of, and they are much less expensive by square foot. So we are starting to look at ways in which we may be able to develop some new parks over time. Certainly, about half of the units that are out there are on individual parcels, so they remain, they've always been and remain an option for new housing on privately held land. So manufactured homes, which have quite frankly had a stigma around them in the past, I think the housing crisis has made us look anew at the potential of that sector and to really understand the value in trying to promote it and use manufactured housing as a ongoing part of the addressing the housing crisis.
John Van Landingham, is that statement? Yeah, go ahead, please.
Could I add something to that, what Marsh just said? Another area that she's actually encouraging us to work on is to create a task force to look at a number of issues related to manufactured homes, including financing. There was before the 2008 crash or Great Recession, there was another economic crash in the late 1990s in which a number of lenders of manufactured homes, financers, failed. And so there are very few financers of manufactured homes anymore. And so she's talking about a task team that would work on that. I'm trying to help put that concept together. But a part of that would also look at how can we encourage new manufactured home parks? I don't think there's been a new manufactured home park built in Oregon in 20 years. I mean, nobody tracks that stuff, so it's all anecdotal. But it would really help with affordable housing if we could build some new ones and either move existing homes into that from parks that are at risk of closing or put new homes in there.
But do communities kind of take a dim view of the creation of new mobile home parks? I wonder if that's ever expressed legally. I mean, as Representative Marsh mentioned, there's a stigma attached to manufactured housing. A trailer park has never been used as a compliment in my knowledge. So, I mean, is that ever expressed legally in terms of people being hard on parks locating anew, John?
The short answer is that that's now a violation of our state land use program. That's been the case since the mid-1980s, early 1980s. So cities are required to plan for and allow manufactured home parks and to allow individual manufactured homes in subdivisions on single-family lots, as long as they meet certain criteria that the city can impose, such as that the home have a pitch roof and a permanent foundation and a garage, so that it looks like other neighboring stick-built homes. But before the land use program made that imposition in the early, mid-1980s, absolutely there was discrimination. And in fact, there used to be something called the Bureau of Governmental Research at University of Oregon that in the 50s and 60s and 70s helped cities plan, progressive planning, thinking ahead, doing a good job of land use planning. And they sent out a survey in the late 1950s that said, as an example of progressive planning cities, do you allow trailer parks within 500 feet of your elementary schools? So obviously the message there is that we don't want those people near our children.
Wow, that's pretty harsh. John Van Landingham is an attorney for the Oregon Law Center. Representative Pam Marsh is from Ashland, representing Oregon House District 5. We're talking about manufactured housing in the state and legislation pending. What kinds of cases are often coming through the Oregon Law Center? I noticed you have several publications aimed at landlord-tenant law.
Well, there is a legal services program in Medford. And it does a lot of the same stuff that other legal services programs do. That program is targeted just in Jackson County. It's not part of the organization that I'm part of. It's a standalone program with really good people. I think it has four attorneys, and they represent tenants on evictions, including manufactured home park evictions, habitability issues, in other words, repairs. They also do domestic violence issues and income, such as Social Security or benefits. I don't know, lots of stuff. So it's all civil, though. They don't do criminal work. We don't do criminal work.
Mm-hmm. Pam Marsh, Representative Marsh, do any of the efforts you're bringing to the legislature focus on not just manufactured housing, but more mobile kinds of housing, travel trailers, and the sorts of things that people do live in sometimes as semi-permanent housing because they can't afford anything else?
Well, as a matter of fact, we are...
Funny you should ask.
Yeah, that's right. We are working on a bill around building standards for recreational vehicles to make sure that they can continue to be manufactured within the state of Oregon because our building requirements are problematic right now. And we know that RVs, while they were not originally thought of as being permanent ongoing housing, will certainly do in a pinch, and we've got a lot of pinches these days as people try and look around and try to figure out where they can make a home.
John Van Landingham, the knowing chuckle there. Have you had some doings with attempts to get people to either get into or get out of areas where they're living in what's not supposed to be anything other than a vacation sort of home?
Yeah. So interestingly, there's a bill on behalf of the manufacturers of manufactured homes, including RVs, to try to get Oregon in compliance with other states to allow them to be built without certain cost-increasing building code requirements. And so there's a bill in that we support, us manufactured home park advocates support. But one of the phrases it uses to define qualifying RVs is that it not be used for residential purposes, quote unquote. And that strikes us as wrong. Of course, they're used for residential purposes. They may not be used for permanent residential purposes, but they are used for purposes. That is true in manufactured home parks. There are many parks that have some spaces reserved for RVs. And it's also true for people who are living on the street. It's a sad state of affairs, but that's a whole lot better than sleeping in a doorway or on a sidewalk somewhere. So that's the issue that made me chuckle, that Representative mm-hmm. Marsh and I are working on.
Okay, so before we go, just about a minute left here. Representative Marsh, the biggest issues of the legislature, you want an acquisition fund to
right.
acquire the parks, a disposal fund to mm-hmm. dispose of some of these pre-1980, not up to current standards manufactured homes, and then another fund to help people buy standard, actual, good, current manufactured
right.
housing.
That's correct. I think, again, our focus on manufactured home parks has made us realize that not only are they an affordable option for people, they are also very often a wonderful neighborhood, a supportive environment where people of all ages live together, have a little bit of equity in their home. So if we can address some of these fundamental issues, we've really created a wonderful support system and a sense of community for folks.
We will keep an eye on what happens. Go ahead.
Some people refer to them as low-income people's private gated communities. and it's a sort of setting where people notice if you don't show up for Canasta on Wednesday night or if you aren't there for the Thursday men's breakfast, and they'll check on you.
Okay. Thanks for sharing the story there. John Van Landingham, an attorney for the Oregon Law Center, Representative Pam Marsh of Ashland, thanks for joining us to talk about manufactured homes.
Thank you. Thank you so much.